Cultured Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
I identify as a transgender woman.
I identify as a straight transgender female.
There is no such thing as transgender. You're either XX or XY.
But honestly, I don't really identify as human.
I'm tired of being humanized for the comfort of other people.
God made man male and female. That is determined genetically. That is physiology. That is science. That is reality.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Well, here's a question you won't hear asked anywhere else. Frio, maybe that should tell you something. Hey, this is Wretched Radio. Here's the question no other Christian talk show has dared to consider. The question is, what doth, that's for all of our fundamentalist Baptist friends, what doth Taylor Swift, who all of our fundamentalist Baptist friends probably don't know about, what doth, ask the question, what doth Taylor Swift have to do, what doth Taylor Swift, I'm actually getting agitated with myself now.
Just say hath to do.
What hath she to do with Jim Jones? There, I put it out there, and now we're going to tackle it. You say, why would we be comparing an inexplicably popular pop singer with a guy who was a cult leader, because they're both tapping into the same zeitgeist. They identified a problem, something that is causing people angst. They are stirred about this subject, and then they claim to put their finger on it to say, I'm with you on this. Taylor Swift is doing that with her apparently thoughtful lyric, F-bomb the patriarchy. That's right. F-bomb the patriarchy. Of course, coming from a woman who is, I think she's a billionaire now. On every magazine cover, I don't know. I haven't been to the grocery store in a bit. We've been Costco-ing. So please keep praying for us, because it's scary in there. At the grocery store when I was there last, maybe a couple of weeks ago, she was in every single magazine. Poor girl, suffering, being oppressed like that. Driving around in a private plane. That's right. I said driving around in a private plane. Tours, fawning, adulation. The poor girl being kept down by the patriarchy. And people are gobbling it up. Why? Because that's the mood. That's what people think these days. It's all about the patriarchy and white European cisgendered. I think that's what we are. Is that right, cisgender?
I think that's normal.
Can we just say heterosexual? Is that or is that like a bad word now that you can't use on university campuses unless somebody get damaged? The white European heterosexual male is the scapegoat for everything bad and the excuse for deconstructing everything. And so Taylor Swift, despite the fact that she has hardly been oppressed, she could argue, well, I've had to scratch and claw to get to the top. And who doesn't? That's the way the world works. She's merely tapping into how people are feeling to make more money. And by the way, not the bee asked a, I think, a very fair question. With this lyric, F-bomb the patriarchy, how are the folks at the Gospel Coalition and Christianity Today feeling about their support of Taylor Swift? You may recall, here's one headline. This is from October 2023 in the Gospel Coalition. 7 things Christians can learn from Taylor Swift's Eras Tour. Wow. Hold on. It's me. Hi. I'm the problem. It's me. The gospel in Taylor Swift lyrics. Really? That was from the Gospel Coalition. Christianity Today claimed Barbie and Taylor Swift are bringing us together. Well, they would probably join, whoever wrote these things, would probably join the chorus of F-bomb the patriarchy. It's working because that's what people are feeling. Let's go back in time and revisit Jim Jones, National Geographic, an article titled The Perfect Storm That Led to the Jonestown Massacre. I began to read it and I found myself going, I didn't know that. Okay, Jimmy, What political persuasion was Jim Jones?
I believe he was a Republican.
Uh-huh. And what was his economic posture? Was he a capitalist, socialist, communist? What was he?
Was he a capitalist?
Yeah. All right, here's the article. You can be surprised like I was. I didn't think about it. It's like, yeah, he was a cult leader who had people drink poison Kool-Aid. But I didn't know more than that. Jones preached what so many Americans longed to hear. This is National Geographic. Young radicals disillusioned by establishment politics and the Vietnam War applauded the socialist principles he promoted at his church. Well, 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 that's an interesting disclosure. Not only did much of Jones' work take on civil rights issues, he modeled traditional black worship styles, touted his adopted black and Korean children, and even claimed he himself was black, which today you can do and get away with it, I guessed. Jim Jones opened what would become the People's Temple in Indiana in 1954. There again, I'm not by any means a Jim Jones student, clearly. I thought he was a California guy. It was Indiana. The People's Temple drew from socialism, what? Communism and Christianity, well, sort of, to promote equality and attract a multiracial congregation. He proselytized with a showman's panache and used faith healing. Oh, to attract followers. That's another way to get people to follow you. Now, you promise that you're going to take care of their physical maladies. That is a very powerful offer, isn't it? But Jim Jones was tapping into the spirit of the age, the rebellious. Hey, this we've got to blow up this capitalism thing. We need equality. And people hear that and it resonates with them. More from the article. Jones is never really know how to do a possessive when a name ends with an S. Jones is correct. And by the way, have you noticed that that gets treated differently with Jesus? Jesus, sometimes you'll rarely, but sometimes you hear people say Jesus's sandals. Sometimes it's a double, sometimes it's not Jesus sandals. Jones's is charisma and vision attracted the attention of some of the country's most visible activists, including Jane Fonda and Huey P. Newton. I don't know what a Huey P. Newton is. Founder of the Black Panther movement. Oh. They all love Jim Jones. He also won the support of the political establishment in San Francisco. Oh, here it is, where he moved his church in 1965. I feel vindicated. There he met Rosalind Carter, who was so enthralled with Jones, she went on to speak from his pulpit. Of course she did. The two also had dinner together and exchanged letters. Harvey Milk fawned over Jones's work, and politicians courting voters often turned up at the People's Temple. Jim Jones gained a following by tapping into the angst, the agitated ones. After a series of reports debunked Jones' faith healing, that ain't hard to do, although these days, wow, the defense of these silly street healers. Well, they don't heal the road. They heal people out on the streets. After he was debunked and accused of abuse, Jones started believing these were signs that America was out to get the People's Temple and him. Drug use fueled his paranoia that the U.S. government would target the church or turn fascist. 1974, the People's Temple bought land in the jungle of Guyana. Why? He thought it would be perfect for a multiracial utopia, to create an agricultural commune where members could live out their values with total equality, with him on top, of course, of the total equality utopian socialist agenda. All, remember, we're all equal. Some of us are just more equal than others. Black members made up 68% of Jonestown's total population. The commune was also predominantly youthful, with 63% of the population 35 or younger and 152 children under the age of 12. And in the remains, Taylor Swift cassette tapes were found. Okay, I added that last part. The man who preached the gospel of equality anointed himself ruler of his kingdom in the jungle, hoarded everyone's passports, preventing them from leaving. Well, this would be the definition of a cult. Residents couldn't date or break up without his approval. This is what happens in socialism. There's always going to be someone or an army that tells everybody what to do and controls minutiae. Punishments included social ostracism, and according to witnesses, he bound children in the forest and wrapped a snake around a woman's leg, and there's more details that we don't need to pollute our minds with. What do we learn from all of this? At least two lessons. Number one, cult leaders, popular figures that look to deconstruct, always tap into angst. That would encourage us to be a loud voice in the public arena of ideas because we have truth to speak into the darkness. Second, you would do well to start teaching your kids where different economic systems come from, where different political ideologies come from, and teach them what the Bible has to say, lest they become victim to a Kool-Aid offering cult leader or Taylor Swift. This is Wretched Radio. Who will speak for those who are staggering to the slaughter? Seems like right now would be a good time to encourage you to support Preborn Ministries. They're in it. It's a little complex out there with the internet and ordering pills. They're in the game. They're working hard to save babies and save mommies and daddies with the gospel. So if you are energized about life, that's something you can do. You can support Preborn. They provide free ultrasounds despite the accusations of all pro-life clinics. They are holistic. They do care about the mommy too. And they care for the family and they provide training. And it is literally a way that if you have the means, you can be saving a life. Amazing ministry. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
Thank you for listening to Wretched Radio today. Meet Dr. Andrew Walker. He's one of eight new voices joining this ministry later this year. Dr. Walker is the managing editor of World Opinions. He's also an associate professor of Christian Ethics and Public Theology. Earning his PhD from the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, Dr. Walker has written extensively on ethics, including God and the transgender debate, and liberty for all. His work addresses the pressing moral issues of our time with clarity and biblical conviction. And leaders like Dr. Walker are joining our ministry later this year to provide critical content for navigating today's darkened culture. Your support can help us bring even more voices like his to the forefront. Join our $250,000 match campaign today. All of the details right now are available at wretched.org/fellows. Wretched.org/fellows. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Gotta tell you, very excited. We have got a new outreach that we are working on with the good folks at the Masters Academy International, talking about getting John MacArthur study Bibles in Spanish to South American countries, some of which we maybe can't mention, if you know what I'm saying. It was such a delightful time, and so many people participated in our Bible distribution to the Philippines. That was such a gas. But as long as I brought up the Masters Academy International, it is a great ministry. It's a privilege to be working with these people. They're very thoughtful. They're very methodical. Teaching men how to preach the Word of God rightly. Then they send them back to their churches where they open up the Bible, perhaps for the first time, at least to that depth. Because of the training of the Masters Academy International, if you want to support a ministry that strengthens the local church, hey, you'd be hard-pressed to do better than TMAI. You can learn more about that, if and you want to, at wretched.org/pastor.
Important dates in Christian history. 1906. The Azusa Street Revival in Los Angeles, California, launches Pentecostalism and paves the way for the development of the modern charismatic movement. Pentecostalism is marked by a focus on supernatural gifts such as healing and speaking in tongues. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
The thrill of victory and the agony of defeat.
Spanning the globe, because we have the internet and we can, to bring you the constant variety, mostly of the stuff you send to idea@wretched.org, but unfortunately, there's a little bit of a kink in the hose. There's tons of good stuff that gets sent, but sometimes those stories don't fit together. So what do? We put them into a pile. We play an outdated theme song and call this Wide World of Christian Stories.
I am so impressed with myself. I nailed that post. Now it doesn't count. I've already received my reward as I pat myself on the back. This is Wretched Radio. Hey, let's go to Pakistan, shall we? A fellow's been set on fire because he desecrated the Quran. This is apparently a little Islamic nationalism going on, which they've been about actually since the genesis of the religion of peace. This fellow was taken into police custody and then taken by a mob. The mosques blared on their loudspeakers, "Come and gather," and storm the police station. So they did. They set the police station on fire. Then they sent him on fire. Well, after shooting him, of course, because, hey, they're not cruel like that. And did you know that's typically the way so many of the martyrs died? Because the martyrs would be put to a stake. They wanted to set them on fire, but they would preach until the flames consumed them. So what did the Roman Catholic Church do? We got to kill them first. So typically they were strangled. Tyndale, I believe, was strangled by chains. Then they set him on fire and blew up his body to make sure that fellow had no more influence. Fail, because the King of England's eyes were opened. And his work, which had him on the lam in Europe, the King of England said, sure, we'll have an English Bible. Wah in law, the Tyndale Bible, and wah in law, the English language codified thanks to Tyndale. This is nothing new, that people who are being persecuted for their faith are killed and then set ablaze. To the Islamic Republic, we know it as Iran, the supreme leader, Ali Khamenei, stating that maintaining hijab wearing was of utmost importance, and he sickened them their morality police on people to make sure women are wearing their hijabs. And in other breaking news, university protests on American campus that are hysterical about the fact that women in these Islamic nations are being suppressed and have to wear a hijab. Jimmy, go ahead and share some of those stories.
I've got so many.
Okay, just one. You got one?
I don't know which one to share.
You got nothing, because no. There are no protests. The feminists are mum when it comes to the treatment of Islamic women. Even in this country, honestly, can you imagine the outrage, the vocal protestations of Christians in America if they demanded their women cover everything but a slit in their eyes? But not a word for the religion of peace. Why? Because they're allies. They're both on the side of darkness. And you got to be careful. This would actually work. Matthew chapter 12, the Pharisees accusing Jesus of doing his miracles by the power of the Lord of the dunghill, Beelzebul. And Jesus, using just like a thimbleful of logic, would just refuted it completely. Now, if I'm from the devil, why would I be casting out demons? I'd be going to war against myself. Instead, you get rid of the strong man who's guarding the house so that you can storm it and take it over. Jesus refuted them. So it was just kind of just like that, because their accusation was about as desperate as it could possibly be. They were it was undeniable. It was unmistakable. That these miracles could only be done by the Messiah, by God himself. They knew it, and they denied it. Which, by the way, just as an aside, going to be preaching on this in 2 weeks at Alpharetta Bible Church, just saying, that Jesus addresses the sin of the Holy Spirit, which has caused a great deal of consternation among far too many believers. that think, oh no, I said this or thought this about God. I've committed the sin against the Holy Spirit. The context makes it clear. I don't even think you can commit the sin of the Holy Spirit today, because the context colors what Jesus was saying. He was speaking to the Pharisees, the religious oppressors, which, by the way, not unlike what is going on in these Islamics, forcing people to abide by the religious rules of the day. And these individuals saw Jesus performing, they saw it. In other words, they knew it. So Jesus said, look, you can sin against me all you want, it's forgiven. But if you know that I am the Messiah and you reject it, you're sinning against the Holy Spirit and you ain't going to heaven. And that is the sin against the Holy Spirit. It is specifically seeing the miracles of Jesus and denying that he is the Christ, which is the sin against the Holy Spirit. Now, does that mean that there isn't some form of a sin against the Holy Spirit today? Well, in a sense, there is, because if you study the Bible, you hear sermons, and you're putting it together and going, it looks like Jesus is the Messiah, but you reject it? That would be a form of rejecting the Holy Spirit, but that's probably where the confusion has come in, that I just say something bad about Jesus or I think something wrong about God, therefore I'm disqualified from the kingdom. In Matthew 12, that's not what is happening. Today, the individual who commits the sin against the Holy Spirit is anybody really who rejects the Christ. Their sins can't be forgiven, because they're not born again. So if you've been concerned, perhaps, that you've committed the sin against the Holy Spirit and it grieves you that maybe you said or thought something about Jesus that is like, you haven't committed the sin against the Holy Spirit. Let's go back to the East, shall we? An assembling of quotes. This is courtesy of the Gateway Pundit in response to the kids on the campuses who are protesting for Hamas. They're not protesting against the treatment of Hamas toward its people. Oh, no, they are supporting Hamas. And there's an organization called the Queers for Palestine. They blocked the exit to Disney World in Florida while chanting Free Palestine, Free Palestine. Some quotes for their consideration. This is from an imam stating, the Palestinian people will not allow a single homosexual on our land. Such perversion brings the wrath of Allah on us all. That was from July 6, 2022. Quote, our Muslim Palestinian people will not accept a single homosexual openly declaring his abomination. Will you allow a single homosexual on the land of Jerusalem and Palestine? Will you allow that? No. Our people will not allow there to be institutions that promote this abomination on the blessed and pure land of Palestine. Apparently, that quote has not reached the campuses of America. This is Palestinian Islamic scholar Sheikh Yusuf Abu. Maybe his last name is Islam. Homosexuals should be thrown off rooftops, stoned to death. Allah will punish us like Sodom if we don't fight this abomination. So the key word apparently is abomination here. Allah punished male and female adulterers only with flogging or stoning. But when he decided to punish homosexuals, he said they should be thrown headfirst from the rooftop of the tallest building, and then they should be stoned from the top. That from the Religion of Peace. Let's go to India, shall we? Did you know that Hindu nationalism is on the rise? Courtesy of their prime minister, not the president, the prime minister. His name is Narendra Modi, who has a history of supporting Hindu nationalism, making Hinduism the religion of the state, returning India to its Hindu roots prior to the colonization of the West. And he is growing in popularity, and he is making life very hard for anybody who does not practice the religion of Hinduism. Ask your Christian missionary friends in India. Things getting easier, they're going to tell you it's getting hard and scary. and really, really dangerous. It's always been a bit dangerous, but now it's really, really getting dangerous, especially for Muslims. Don't know if you're familiar with this fellow. The Guardian did an article on him tracing his history. Do you know much about the Prime Minister of India? According to The Guardian, he's about the business of promoting historic Hindu civilizational greatness. That's what he's about. Democratic backsliding, growing authoritarianism, crony capitalism, the erosion of freedom of the media, freedom of judicial independence, attacks on secularism, liberal institutions, civil society, a publicly condoned Islamophobia, and growing state-sponsored persecution of minorities, primarily India's 200 million Muslims. Zoinks, Scoob. Please pray for the Christian missionaries in India. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for a Wretched News break here on Wretched Radio. I'm Jimmy Hicks. Well, in a move that has left many people scratching their heads, the Department of Interior has released a 24-page inclusive language guide for bureaucrats. Among the pearls of wisdom you'll find in this document, avoid using terms like husband, wife, son, and daughter. Instead, they suggest using words like spouse or child, because apparently referring to your own family members by their actual relationship is now problematic. But wait, there's more. There is always more. The guide also instructs employees to use they-them pronouns for individuals rather than assuming someone's gender. I guess next time I meet somebody named Jim, hey, that's me, who looks like a lumberjack, also me, I guess I should ask what their pronouns are, just to be safe. Wouldn't want to offend Jim by calling him he without permission. Yeah, you'll offend me by calling me they. If any of that makes sense. And the guide even tells bureaucrats to replace cockpit with flight deck. Yeah, I'm sure pilots all over the place are breathing a sigh of relief. Now their workplace is no longer going to be referred to by such an offensive term. In other news, if you missed it, drag queens descended on Capitol Hill yesterday for what they called Drag Lobby Day, because nothing says serious policy discussion like men in dresses and heavy makeup lobbying Congress. One of the participants appeared on CNN to explain the dire importance of their mission. The guy said, "It's very scary to dress like this." I'm sure our founding fathers envisioned this same exact scenario when they established the right to petition the government. The drag lobbyists are pushing for legislation like the Equality Act and the Transgender Bill of Rights, because apparently our regular Bill of Rights is just not inclusive enough. We clearly need a separate set of rights for people based on how they identify and dress. That's not divisive at all, is it? Meanwhile, in San Francisco, a convenience store owner is feeling the squeeze from both criminals and the city government. After being robbed for a fourth time, with thieves making off with $80,000 in cigarettes, the owner received a violation from the city demanding he clean up the damage within 90 days or face punishment. That's exactly what this guy needed. I mean, when your store gets ransacked, the first thing that you've got to worry about is making sure the city approves of how tidy it looks afterwards. Forget about catching the criminals or preventing future break-ins. You just make sure you clean up those broken windows pronto. San Francisco, they've got their priorities straight, don't they? The store owner is actually considering closing up shop, which shocks absolutely no one familiar with the business climate in the city of San Francisco these days. But I'm sure city officials are going to find another way to blame capitalism or systemic oppression rather than their own failed policies. And that has been today's Wretched News Break. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Books of the Bible. When Habakkuk saw violence and injustice in Judah, he complained to God. God promised to use the Chaldeans to punish Judah. But Habakkuk complained that they were even worse than Judah. God said that he would punish the Chaldeans after using them to purify Judah. God uses all things for his glory and the good of his people, even evil things. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
What are we doing? We're spanning the globe. This is Wretched Radio. Did you know that the current Prime Minister of India was banned from the United States for a decade? I didn't either. Was reading an article in The Guardian talking about Prime Minister Modi's power and his influence in creating Hindu nationalism. He's being very successful, and he was previously outlawed, banned from coming to the United States. Thought you might be interested in why. Immediately after he became chief minister, the current prime minister of India was involved in what are called the Gujarat riots. Did I say that right, Jimmy?
You did. You got it.
Because how many times have you been to India?
I've never been to India.
But
I've been to
you've always been to me. Okay, somebody sent me that song. Do you remember that song from the 70s? It wasn't my favorite. I've been to paradise, but I've never been to me. Somebody sent me a note and said, it's actually a very pro-life song where I think she expresses regrets in the second verse about having an abortion, which is great. But wow, that song was kind of, I've been to paradise, but I've never been to me. Jimmy,
yes,
hasn't been to India, but he knows how to pronounce Gujarat. How do you know these things?
I've been to Pakistan.
Have you really?
I have been to Pakistan.
What was it like?
As you might expect, very, very third world.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So, okay. But what about the spiritual climate?
We didn't get out in public very much because we couldn't. We were protected from that. So,
well, because you would have been what? Arrested?
Well, we would have just been, I mean, we're American, so we would have been recognized and they would have been looking for reasons to
boot you out.
I heard him say something about the Quran.
Sure.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So for safety reasons.
We were very...
So what were you doing there if you were sitting inside all day?
Training pastors.
Ah, that makes sense. See, now those guys have to live with that stuff too.
Yep.
We don't understand what that's like yet. But I suspect we will. So he was elected the chief prime minister, or the chief minister rather, February 2002. Train coaches carrying Hindu pilgrims were set on fire, killing 59 people. The finger was pointed at Muslims. And the following day, a coordinated attack by right-wing Hindu groups began on Muslim neighborhoods. Hundreds were tortured, killed, burned alive, and gang raped. I don't know why, naivete, ignorance. I always thought Hinduism, Buddhism, such a peace, you know, they're, if nothing else, you know, they're just pacifistic. No, they're actually not. Not all of them, obviously. There are those who are willing to kill you for not sharing their religious beliefs. That's what happened in 2002. You say, what does that have to do with the prime minister? He was accused of inflaming the violence and of not giving police orders to halt the anti-Muslim pogroms. He never apologized for the riots, and his complicity led him to being banned from the U.S. for nearly a decade. I'm pretty sure our president probably would herald the fellow. Because whatever makes sense these days doesn't. Let's keep spanning the globe, shall we, to Philadelphia, which is a town I have only visited once, but I dug it. I dug it a lot. It felt like the Chicago of the East to me. It didn't feel like New York. New York is about as intense as it can be. Philadelphia had a little bit of Midwestern sensibility to it. That's what I like about Chicago. It is both urban and yet it doesn't have that East Coast sort of edge. And I thought that of Philadelphia. Could be wrong. Was only there once, but wow, it was beautiful. Did the traditional stuff, the Liberty Bell, location of the first Congress, and just dug it because it had a mojo. A mojo? A vibe. There was an air about it that was really groovy, and now it's becoming so dangerous. But in the plus column for Philadelphia, just so you know, do not give up hope on Philadelphia because they just set the Guinness World Record for most attended drag story time reading. Hey, it's so Philadelphia isn't in the trash heap yet. Drag queens read books to 263 people at the National Constitution Center last Saturday. It was an event organized. One of the books that was read, 'Twas the Night Before Pride. Ooh. 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 Congratulations, Philadelphia. I got to tell you, until transgender people, until they start doing transgender story time in nursing homes, I'm sorry. it appears they're after a particular demographic. Why is it always the kids? Sorry for this one. We are going to go to Chicago. I hear Chicago, please correct me if I'm wrong. It's anecdotal. It's such a glorious town and it's such a great foodie city, but it's dangerous there. And it's under liberal leadership when those policies are never good for human safety, unless, of course, they crack down. But then again, that ain't good for human safety either. From the Daily Wire, what I saw at Chicago's Queer Fam Pride Jam, at Chicago's Millennium Park, one of the first tables that greeted attendees was manned by a drag queen in a pink shawl, tight green spandex, and a Fizzy Wig, I think, was a character in a Dickens novel, was offering drag makeovers for kids. Why not for senior citizens? The line was long, with children and toddlers uneasy as their parents walked them up to the man in drag. Those parents need to be examined. Those kids are not safe. Prominently featured three different drag performers who danced for the children, with one even accepting a dollar bill from a child as he suggestively danced. Oh, cool. Sponsored by Lululemon, by the way. The city's mayor, Brandon Johnson, took the stage after the opening set to declare June as one of the most important months and wish the crowd a happy queer family month. That would be Romans 1, a complete. The feature performance was the drag extravaganza, hosted by the Chicago Drag Superstars. After a late start due to the tardiness of Boogie McLaren, the house music dance instructor, the first drag performer, came out to a Spice Girls song while donning a leopard print one-piece outfit. Within seconds, the drag queen leapt off the stage into the crowd of children. Huh, kind of kooky that so many kids are involved in this, where he strutted between rows of seats before dropping to his back in front of a child and then doing something I won't even describe for you. Another drag performer, this would be a bearded lady, stepped out onto the stage in tall white heels and a long pink robe. He opened his performance by dramatically tearing it off to reveal a tight-fitting brown one-piece spandex outfit interspersed with pink sparkles. He, too, jumped off the dance floor amid the crowd of children. This is just coincidence, I'm sure of that. The final act was centered around Fabulous Freddy, who gave children a class on voguing. An often suggestive style, is there any other style of voguing, of dance that's been described as an important part of queer identity. Fabulous Freddy then walked each of the dozens of children, to strut down an imaginary runway to the gleeful adulation of the parents. This is an abomination. This is wickedness. This is evil on display. When parents are exposing their children to this, I'm sorry, I don't think there are soft words for this. I think it's wrong to soft pedal it in any way, shape, or form, or to kind of overlook what's going on. Well, you know, in America, we do have freedom to do the evil, wicked. That's the Christian voice. We point a finger at evil and we proclaim what is true and right and good and worthy of praise, and we point them to the solution to their evil-hearted problem. Fabulous Freddy taking each child one by one down the runway as he vogued with them. While many of the children looked confused or uninterested, the adults in attendance loudly cheered. It's always the parents, typically the mom or just a dad who's running behind carrying all this stuff. A number of different LGBT children's books were also at the sale, were at the event, including Being You, a picture book that includes drawings of small children declaring, "I'm trans." Terrific. That was what was going on in Chicago. Christians, I fear that we all have, we don't want to become obnoxious. We don't want to sound like hateful spewers of vitriol, but what else can we, what can we say about that? And why don't we say these things about this? Why don't we call these things the biblical names that they are? This is an absolute abomination. And to be an adult who leads a little children into this depravity, I hope they like millstones, because I think that text would apply. That these parents and these adults who are leading these children into licentiousness, this is Wretched Radio.
All right, listen up, folks. I've got some exciting news for you, because if you've been looking to share the gospel and make a real impact, then we've got the perfect thing for you at the Wretched Store at wretched.org. Of course, you've heard about our gospel booklets. First, there's Are You a Rotten Fish? Perfect for helping you spot the difference between true and false converts. Next, we've got Don't Stub Your Toe. This booklet makes evangelism a breeze. But wait, there's more. The Man Who Split Time proves once and for all that Jesus is God. 22 proofs in this booklet that will have even the most skeptical of skeptics scratching their heads. And last, but certainly not least, 13 reasons why you should not commit suicide. So what are you waiting for? Head over to wretched.org and stock up on these life-changing gospel booklets. Your friends, your family, and even complete strangers will thank you for sharing the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. Gospel booklets available now at wretched.org.
You're familiar with the Tomorrow Club's outstanding ministry. Oh, what a testimony. Eastern Europe, Africa, poor, poor, poor places. The Tomorrow Clubs go in. They assemble the kids every week, preach the gospel, have them memorize the Bible, sing songs, love on them, give them some treats. It has been an outstanding ministry for over 20 years, and it's growing like a nobody's business, and it is a testimony to their faithfulness that over 50% of the Tomorrow Club volunteer leaders were Tomorrow Club kid attendees. Now they, in their villages, are teaching the kids the gospel as volunteers for the Tomorrow Clubs. I got to tell you, that is a testimony. If you love supporting evangelistic ministries that are faithful, that actually preach repentance and faith, it's an outstanding ministry. If you can support it, would commend them to you by visiting tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Attention all Christians who refuse to be silenced. Are you tired of seeing culture crumble before your eyes? Picture this. Later this year, 8 brilliant minds, each a powerhouse in their field, will be coming on board and joining forces with us here at Gospel Partners Media, and we're creating a Christian version of The Daily Wire. We'll be tackling tough topics by writing articles, creating resources and homeschool curriculums, video resources, podcasts, and a lot more. These gentlemen will be your guides in navigating this upside-down, brave new world we're living in. But we need your help to make this vision a reality. If you'll join our $250,000 match campaign right now, you can be part of this exciting new chapter. Every dollar you give will be matched up to $250,000. Just visit wretched.org/fellows right now to learn more about the initiative and each of the 8 brilliant minds that will be joining us. That's wretched.org/fellows.
Lexicon. There are many words to help us understand the nature of the Bible. Words like sensus literalis. The Bible is to be read in the literal sense, the way the author and original audience would have understood it. There is no code, no secret meaning to be uncovered. The Bible is plainly written so that all people can know God through its pages. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Some Christian talk show programs might have one trend. Some might dare to have two. Well, not here at Wretched Radio. 5, count them, 5 trends held in my never-before nicotine-stained fingers. Trend number 1, it looks like everybody's angrier these days. That's right, according to a big study in the UK, Gallup Global Emotions Report. Anger around the world has been rising since 2016. 23% of respondents feel angry on any given day. Have you felt that? Is it possible you've been infected by the anger disease, the pandemic that is spreading around the globe? Pretty easy to get angry these days. And I don't think that the right response to that is to say never get angry. It's to be righteously angry when appropriate and not get agitated, annoyed, and see human beings as the enemy when they really are the harvest field. That ain't an easy balance, is it? That is a tricky one, especially when we're so bombarded by all of the Romans 1 depravity these days. I got to tell you, I dig the social media. I love all of the advances that computers and technology have made for the sake of human flourishing. But I got to tell you, we weren't meant to be God and know every terrible, horrible thing that is going on. He can handle it. We can't. And maybe the reason that many of us are so angry is because we're just being exposed to stuff, too much stuff that our brains can't handle. By the way, speaking of brains, this isn't a trend, but wow, did I find this a fascinating article, and maybe something that might encourage you to witness to your eye doctor or your general physician or whoever takes care of you. This is fascinating. A full scan of 1 cubic millimeter of brain tissue, that is a tiny amount of brain tissue, took over 1.4 petabytes of data. That's the equivalent of 14,000 4K movies. That is 1 millimeter of human brain. In other words, the human brain is the most sophisticated machine in the universe. Your brain, between your two ears, even mine. A collaborative effort between Harvard and Google AI experts, they took a deep dive into neural mapping. They did full imaging, mapping of a brain sample, and they made some discoveries. Quote, we did the math on what ramping up this experiment to the entire brain would cost, and the scale is impossibly large. To store the information that they gleaned from 1 cubic millimeter of brain tissue would take 1.6 zettabytes of storage, costing $50 billion and spanning 140 acres. That's your brain. Don't tell me that animals are better. Don't tell me that animals are more sophisticated. Don't tell me that we are just like them, despite all of the efforts to tell you that there's no difference between us and monkeys. There are. They pick bugs off of each other. Okay, a parent sometime might pick up, if the kid comes home with lice, yes, we will pick bugs off of our children, but we don't eat them. There's a difference. One neuron was found with 5,000 connection points to other neurons. Fearfully and wonderfully made, coming to mind. The cubic millimeter of brain is only 1/1,000,000th of the size of an adult human brain. Are we impressed? This should cause worship. And how medical professionals can see this and say, nah, no God, no designer here. And it's not just the brain, it's the skeletal system. It's the muscular system. It's the neurological system and the connectivity of all of it functioning. It's amazing. You cannot deny it. Storing 1.6 zettabytes on the cheapest consumer hard drives would cost $48 billion. And that's without any redundancy. That does not factor in the cost of the server hardware to put the drives in, networking, cooling power, and roof to put over this data center that is 1 millimeter of your brain. The roof in question would also be massive. Assuming full server racks holding 1.8 petabytes, the array of racks needed to store the full imaging of a human brain would cover over 140 acres if smooshed together as tightly as possible. Share that with your doctor. Ask your doctor. My ophthalmologist friend, when you look at the eye, how do you account for its complexity? How does your worldview explain the intricacy of the human neurological system? How do you account for the fact that all of this stuff had to work together in staggering harmony? Otherwise, there would be no reason for us to evolve in this way. That's one of the most powerful lines of reasoning, I think, against godless atheism or an evolutionary system. Which came first, your legs or your feet? Because if you got legs, but you don't have feet that can utilize them, well, then you don't need legs. So they wouldn't evolve. They had to evolve together. And they didn't. They can't. That's such staggering odds that it is absolutely impossible to imagine that all of the parts in your body that needed to operate together all happened to evolve at the exact same time. You need oxygen. So which came first? Your lungs or your nose and mouth? Food. The need for food. You need food. Which evolved first? Your stomach? Digestive tract? How's about the gullet that runs it from mouth to tummy? How's about peristalsis, which is needed to move the food down? That's why you can swallow upside down. Gravity doesn't bring it down. Your muscles in your throat bring it down. They're just going to undulate together. What was that doing while it was waiting for the throat to evolve or for the mouth to be able to chew? And what about the teeth that are needed and the tongue to? Well, it couldn't happen. It's ridiculous. And that is why those who deny it, there's a greater motive, and the Bible nails it. They want to suppress the truth in unrighteousness. According to the research from the Institute of Customer Service, 60% of customer service workers have experienced hostility in the past year. Now, don't you panic. If you're feeling angry, this article, which is in the Huff and Puff and Blow Your Worldview Down Post, gives you some tips to control your anger. Ready, Jimmy? This is going to just calm you down, sir. Think to yourself, I'm feeling really angry right now.
Yeah, that works every time.
Take yourself out of the situation. Use a code word when you feel angry. Focus on what's around you. Focus on your breath. Use a grounding object. Keep notes on your phone with reminders to yourself about what to do when you feel angry. There you go. You're fixed.
Thanks.
Anger, be gone. Here's a trend that's troubling. Why young followers glorify school shooters? What in the world? This is from USA Today. TikTok profiles with the shooters' names and photos are festooned with hearts and ribbons and fans of the shooters declaring their love for the murderers. Videos splice together old footage and stills of the shooters. First-person shooter simulations of Columbine regularly pop up on TikTok, while they fetch tens and even hundreds of thousands of views. What? Sorry. Can we take a look at the TikTok machine? Can we take a look and make some laws? Can we just say, look, kids, we know you're going to lose out on some stuff, but you're not going to have a device that allows you to have access to everything. We will give you only what is needed to operate in this society, to carry around with you and use in your leisure away from your parents' eyes. School shooters, including the killers at Sandy Hook, studied and emulated the Columbine attack. Cool. The documents posted online by copycats frequently mention the influence of Columbine. Whoa, one TikTok video featured Columbine shooters in fictional Disney posters amassed 400,000 views in 3 months. The adults need to take over again. We need to recognize these kids cannot handle these things. Now, this is The Guardian, the trend. Animal homosexual behavior underreported by scientists. Sorry, y'all. You can try to undermine natural law all you want. We ain't animals. Another trend, the complete deconstruction of Western civilization. Not the Bee included a quote from the author of Abolish the Family. Well, that's pretty clear about their agenda. Says the desire to protect kids' innocence is a threat. Guess who's driving the threat? Christian evangelical capitalism on steroids. Here's a review of the book. Anchored in a strikingly hopeful feminist Marxism. The author leads the reader through a systematic, didactic introduction to the politics and possibilities of cutting ourselves loose from the constraints and impositions of the traditional patriarchal capitalist family. That is a trend that is not abating. I would encourage you again, mom and dad, going to have to get involved in educating your kids about what is going to inform their worldview when it comes to social systems, when it comes to governments, and when it comes to economics. Because if we don't, TikTok will. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.